for sharing that. And this is one of those proud dad moments. Very thankful for the gifts God has blessed Madison with, and so thankful that she uses them faithfully. And we thank you, Madison, for what you've done this summer while you've been home. And I would just ask that you as a congregation would pray for her as she goes back to school, and pray for her ministry there in Abilene. Well, this morning, we are going to look to the Word of God and from James. And we're here to last tremendous story of Philip's obedience, where the angel spoke to him and told him to go. And the thing we really got from that was that Philip was quick to obey, didn't question, didn't delay in any way, but he, without knowing what God's plan was for him, he just went and went to this eunuch to answer his questions about God's Word. And so this morning we kind of piggyback on that a little bit. We're going to talk about faith without works, and that faith without works is a dead faith. And certainly, throughout time, there's been confusion in that. How can you say faith without works is dead when we talk about faith is through grace alone, that we are saved? And then James writes about a faith that is dead without works. So let's look at James in the second chapter, verse 14. James says this: "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, is dead." So what does this mean? Faith without works is dead. Well, we know, and we want to be very clear about this, salvation is only through faith. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. Salvation is through faith. It's through the redeeming work and grace of God. It's what God does. It's not anything we do. However, if our faith is not accompanied by works, then we really can't say we have a genuine faith, because works are going to be a result of our faith. And that's what we're going to see this morning. But one of the most serious problems that the church has faced throughout history, since the very beginning, throughout the history of the church, even to this day, there are many, many Christians that profess Christ. We can go all over this country, and churches, pews are filled with people that profess faith, but they do nothing or very little to prove their faith. So in other words, there are many that say they believe in Christ, they say they follow Christ, but they don't act in ways that would attest to that. There are many professing Christ, but there's absolutely no evidence of their conversion. And so if we want to answer the question, well, how should Christians act? How should Christians behave in their life? The main way that we should act is defined for us clearly. Peter speaks to this. 1 Peter 1:16, Peter says, "Be holy, for I am holy." God commands us to be holy as he is holy. If we want to talk about how we are to act, we center right there. God is holy, we are to be holy. Now, can we truly be holy? No. We're born sinners. It's our nature. But we are to strive that. And we can stand before a holy and righteous God in Christ's righteousness when we truly believe and follow Christ and we're redeemed by his blood. Then we can stand before a holy and righteous God because we have Christ upon us. So we're to be holy as he is holy. We are to strive for holiness. We are to persevere in trying to live a holy life. But unfortunately, there's many that really aren't willing to do that. And James, here as he writes, he's realizing, listen, there's oftentimes a disconnect between what people profess, what they say with their mouths, There's a disconnect between what they say and what they do. There's a disconnect between what they say and the fruit that they are producing. Now, one of the keys as we look at this passage, what I want you to see is this is a person who says that he has faith. He says he has faith. So what that tells us, it's in the present tense. So a person like this, we ask them, listen, what's your testimony? It would be something like this. I am a Christian because I made a profession of faith. Well, we as good Baptists, what does that look like to us in most cases? We come to the end of the service. Pastor stands up here and gives the invitation. Someone walks down the aisle, says a prayer. Then we schedule a time. They're baptized, right? And that's a profession of faith. And many times, people are basing their salvation on that act, right? Because they said a prayer. And here's where a lot of people have struggled with, because it's all in prayer. Did I say it right? Did I get the words right? You know? And many times, listen, if you've been in Baptist church all your life like I have, you've seen services like where the preacher says, all right, repeat after me, say these words, right? We've all been there. And so what we do, or what people do, is they think there's something magical, mystical, something in those words they said that grants them salvation, and then they live their life thinking, that's it. And there's really no change. Well, listen, true salvation, there's change comes from that. But understand, so this person who we see that James talking about, present tense, and what do we see in the text? His actions are far different from his words. He has an opportunity for works and he doesn't do anything. He speaks to this person, wishes them well, bless them, I'll pray for you, you know, but he has an opportunity to do something, to bless this person, to minister to him, he doesn't do it. So his actions are different than his words. He doesn't have works, and again, the verb here is in the present tense. So this person has a lifestyle that is not showing any fruit of a true Christian. And this person keeps on professing faith in Christ, but they never show any evidence of having to come to Christ. So we're talking about a man who professes to know God, but his actions reflect none of the grace or mercy of God. Understand this, believers cannot claim to know God when we do not treat others as God treats his children. 1 John 3, verses 17 and 18 says this, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. It's easy to say we love, but we need to show that. We need to be about God's love. And let's remind ourselves right now, what are the two greatest commandments? The first, love your Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul. Everything that's in you, we love God. But what's the second? It's similar in that we are to love others as we love ourselves. Let me tell you something. If all of us as Christians, if God's church, the body of Christ throughout this nation, if we would get those two things right, this world would look entirely different. Amen? Now look with me in verse 14. James asks an important question here. He says, can that faith save this man? It's been said that one of our greatest temptations that we confront is to profess our faith but not having works to support it. In other words, we gladly profess Christ. We gladly say we're Christian. We gladly accept salvation, right? Because we don't want the alternative, but then we don't do anything with it. But understand this, faith without works is a contradiction in terms. Faith and works go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. They are absolutely linked to each other. Now, I'll make sure we get this right. We absolutely need to get this straight, because some may think there's a contradiction between what Paul teaches about salvation and what James is writing here. Now, Paul, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, says this, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Absolutely. That's what I preach and taught, and it's absolutely true. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. It's not of works. It's totally by the grace of God, because if there's anything we can do to play a part in it, it lessens what Jesus did for us on the cross and elevates us. And that ain't right. Salvation is through faith in Christ. Salvation is about a relationship, okay? Scripture cannot be more plain. We are saved by faith in Christ, not of any works. Again, let's go to Paul. As he writes to Titus, in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. Here he's telling Titus, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration, renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. No question about it, we are saved by grace. Nothing we can do. There's no works in it. But understand, James' teaching, it's not a contradiction. Okay? Rather, what James is telling us here is that once we receive salvation, once we are truly converted, once we truly come to Christ, once we truly establish a genuine relationship with God, then works reflect our relationship with God. If we have a true relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we cannot help but have works flow from within us. Why? Because God has demonstrated this great love for us, that while we were dead in our sin, he sent his son to die for us. And because we love him for what he's done for us, then we're going to live a life of obedience, and there's things he's calls us to do. And the main thing he calls us to do is tell others about Jesus. Which, listen, should be pretty easy for us, because if we know people that are not saved, they've never confessed their sin, they've never been redeemed, then we know what's going to happen to them. If we truly love them, as we're told to, then we want to see them come to a saving knowledge of Christ. So how could we not share Christ? How could we not share what God has done for us in our lives so that they would experience the same thing? Faith in Christ is the only way to salvation. But James is teaching that works accompany salvation, which is certainly no contradiction to what God says about faith and grace. But we need to understand the context here. We need to think about who James is writing to, okay? The people that James is addressing here, our people have just been saved out of a works-based religion. They were being saved out of the religion of Judaism, which was all about works, right? So they've been encouraged to quit trusting in their works, which is difficult for them to let that go, but they're being encouraged. Listen, it's not about your works. Let go of that. Let God do a work in you. Trust in God. I tell you something, just as they need to hear, there's many Baptists that need to hear this gospel. There many Baptists need to hear it, because there are too many sitting in pews that are trusting their church membership. Too many trusting in the fact they go to church, or they're trusting that church membership instead of truly giving their lives to Christ and receiving grace for the first time. Let me tell you something. Since I've been here as pastor, I've had people come to me with them, asking for things or seeking help or aid. And I try to have discussion with them. And during discussion, well, I'm a member of that church. huh, never seen you since I've been here. But at one point in time, they got their name on the roll. That's all that matters. That's not salvation. We don't put our trust in a church membership. We don't put our trust in having been baptized at some time in our life. Because if we don't have a relationship with Christ, all we do is get wet. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, there's many people that have gone so far the other way when it comes to salvation. Right? They're not concerned about any works, because the only work they're concerned is the fact that one time they made that profession of faith, and they think they're good to go the rest of their lives. Let me tell you something, it's really hard to minister to a family, especially times like a funeral. And I'm trying to prepare, and I'm trying to get ready to speak at a funeral. And you're talking to family, you're trying to get that background. And you're praying, you're hoping that this person was a believer. And they talk about their life, and there's no fruits in it. But they say, oh, well, you know what? He was saved when he was six and got baptized, so good to go. That doesn't save anybody. Only a relationship with Christ saves us. John 14:6, we all know this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's only through Jesus. And that's what burdens me, makes me sad, because there's too many people that just say, listen, just trust in Jesus, that's all that matters. Again, for many, there's confusion with this, and there shouldn't be. But here's the deal. Sometimes we will get the wrong answer because we ask the wrong question. Okay? James says this. He says, can faith save this kind of man? Well, for us, I don't think we want to ask a question. Here's what I think we should be asking. Can the kind of faith this man has save anyone? Can the kind of faith this man has save anyone? The answer is no. And James tells us, faith without works is dead. Again, not saved by works. We are not saved by works, but salvation will always produce God's kind of works. Salvation produces God's kind of works. That's why we see in Ephesians 2:10, it tells us, for we are his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We've got time, so let's camp out right here for a minute, because it wants you to see these three things. When we are saved, when we are truly redeemed, when we have a relationship with Christ, when we're walking with Christ, it should produce God's kinds of works. Look in this Ephesians 2:10. For we as workmanship, what? We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Okay? What happens when we come to Christ? We are what? We are a new creation. Okay? We are a new creation. We are created in Christ. We're created in Christ for what? For good works, we're told. Which God prepared beforehand. So we're created in Christ to do God's will. Which God prepared beforehand. His plan in our life. He desires you come to him through saving knowledge of Christ, and then we serve him. And we've dealt with this a few weeks ago, where we talked about we need to discern the will of God, right? We need to pray and seek his word. We need to discern what that will is that God has prepared and has a plan for us. When? Beforehand. Why? That we should walk in them. That we should walk in them. Let's go back to our text, what James says here in verse 17. He says, so also by faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So here's the deal. There are people who have a dead faith. And all it is just talk, it's just words. Right? Their faith is simply professed by words, but there's nothing to them. There's no substance. So what they're calling faith is something that's not really faith at all. A person that claims they have faith in Christ but has no evidence of that faith is a dead faith. As one author I was reading talking about this, he said their faith is dead of itself. And as another author called it, he said it was a stillborn faith. He called it stillborn faith. Because as believers, we should have a saving faith. And the way it's proven is by the presence of life. It's not a dead faith. It's very alive and active. There should be presence of it. Proof of saving faith is fruit in the life of the believer. Why? Life always produces fruit. You think with me the parable of the soil, Matthew 13. Jesus makes it very plain that seed that is life will always bear fruit. Now, does that look the same in all of us? No. No. Listen, sometimes the fruit might be a little smaller, might be a little slower to grow, but Christians will always bear fruit. Let me tell you something. If there was never any fruit, there's never any fruit, there was never any life. And so this is the point James is making. Listen, all of us, we're different. We're going to have different amounts of fruit, different types of fruit, but all true believers will show evidence of life in Christ. We'll all produce fruit. And we cannot spend a lifetime of refusing to show the grace of God to others and then claim that we have ever personally experienced the grace of God. If we truly experience God's grace, if we truly experience and understand what He has done for us, we can't help but to share that grace and to show that grace. What is saving faith? Is trusting in Jesus Christ. Is trusting in Him alone as our Lord and Savior. But saving faith is also a change of life that results in evidence that you have really met the God of grace personally. I've talked about this many times. When we come to saving knowledge of Christ, we're changed, right? We do a 180 because the way we were headed, the path that we were on, was a path of destruction. It was a path of sin. There was no hope for us apart from Christ. When we come to Christ, we turn from that and we start anew. Scripture says we're born again. We're like a newborn babe. We're starting all over, but we're starting right. And we have to be cared for and provided for and discipled and all that good stuff. But we're different. We're changed. And our life should reflect that change. Salvation does not come through good works. Salvation leads us through faith. But it is a faith that will naturally and without hesitation lead us to do good works. You know, if I do anything right, if I do anything good in my life, it comes from my relationship with Christ. I don't have that in and of myself. I would like to credit myself and think I'm some good person. Not. I'm not. Matter of fact, when we look at Scripture, what does it tell us about our best? But filthy rags. I mean, in ourselves, and listen, it's not good. But through faith in Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit within us, it should lead us to good works. Understand, the evidence of our faith is good works. So the question for all of us today, we should have time of self-examination. We should look at ourselves in the mirror very honestly and ask, what is the evidence in my life of my salvation? Is there evidence? I think I shared this once before, but put in these terms, if we were on trial, if we were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict us? That's a question all of us need to ask ourselves. What evidence of salvation is there in my life? There's no doubt there are too many church members, too many professing Christ that have failed to produce the evidence of doers. And if that wasn't so, our country would look a lot different than it does. If you go back one chapter in James to the first chapter, verse 22, James said this, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only." Why? Because you're deceiving yourselves. We are to be doers of the word. If we're hearers only, we're deceiving ourselves. You know? What God is saying to us is that we're to give evidence. We do good works to testify to our faith in Him, to our trust in Him. The evidence of Christian life in faith is that we produce good works. What's the greatest example of this? Jesus proved His love for us when He gave His life up on the cross. There's no question. Nails didn't hold Him there. It was His love that held Him on the cross for us. Now, God's not asking any of us to be nailed to a cross, but He is asking us to and expects us to sacrifice some part of our life, some part of our time to show evidence of love. And He gives us Jesus as an example. Jesus modeled it. And if we love in our actions the way that Jesus told us to love, then the evidence should be clear. If we do with our bodies what Jesus told us to do with our body, the evidence will be clear. If we seek to walk by faith and follow God's plans for us in our life, the evidence of our salvation will be clear. We only need look to Jesus to find our example. And so, again, as we see here in this text, we're told, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can that faith save him?" Well, let's understand it's a very crucial point, because saying we have faith is easily done. Words come easy. Saying that we have faith is something that flows off the lips, right? But just because people are able to say those words doesn't mean that they possess a genuine faith. Truth of the matter is we're capable of saying many things. But we've heard the saying, words are cheap. Words are cheap, but actions are what counts. And this is absolutely the main point James is making in these verses, and the main point that I will make very clear today. It's extremely important to understand that our faith should be accompanied by works. And again, what works are we referring to? Works in the sense that we genuinely accept Christ in our heart. And when we genuinely come to Christ, when we truly repent of sin, we truly seek God's forgiveness, we truly accept Christ, what comes of that? Should be a drastic change. We should look completely different from where we were before. There should be a drastic change in our life. And let me go to Paul, as I think he can express it better than I do. But in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says this. Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A new creation. The old has passed away. It's gone. It's dead. Not to be revived. It's dead. It's gone. And all things have become new. So we don't hold on to any of the old junk. If we truly are a new creation, we truly come to Christ, we're completely changed. We're regenerated. And all the old stuff, the old sinful life is gone. It has now become new. So if we say that we genuinely accept Christ, then we can't continue to lead a life in the same fashion we once did. We can't continue in the old sinful lifestyle that we've led. But rather, we strive for holiness. We go back to 1 Peter. Be holy as I'm holy. That's what we pursue. That's how we are to live. Again, Paul in Ephesians 4:22 tells us, put off your old self. Because the old self belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Get away from that. Put it off. That's not who you are anymore, because now you are in Christ. You put on His holiness. So we can't say we possess a genuine faith if that radical change is not taking place. By professing we are Christians, and not to be radically changed by professing Christ, but no change in our life. Listen, we're lying to ourselves. We're just lying to ourselves. Professing that we are Christian, not changing, it's just empty words unless a change comes with it. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 15:8. He says, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Sad but true. And think about it. All over this country right now, in churches all over, there are people sitting in pews. And they're guilty of that. Honor God with their lips. They come to church. Right? So think about it. They come to church on Sunday morning and sing the songs. Right? And the plate goes around. They might put a little money in it. May even be one of those amen people. Right? Amen, preacher. They honor me with their lips, but then they leave out there, what's the rest of the week like? Live life. Come back Sunday, do it again. They're living life. Christ tells us this. And we see it as evidence. People honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. How is it when our heart's close to Him? If we're truly in fellowship with Christ and we meditate on the sacrifice that He paid for us, we understand God's great love for us. How can we not just be in awe? How can we not desire to show our love in return? Let's make this much more practical. I'm very proud of my girls. And we have one good relationship, right? But when they show their love for me, how much more shall I show my love for them? And vice versa. And when I'm so proud of them, then it caused me desire to just do things for them and help them and encourage and support. Same way we should be with our Heavenly Father. Does that make sense? When we truly understand what He's done for us, how can we not show Him our love? And how do we do that? By being obedient to His Word. And His Word can be more plain what we do. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Love others as you love yourself. Let me say this. If we think that we are saved, but continue to lead the life we once lived, we continue to live a sinful life. In other words, we continue to disobey God's word, then we must see and know that we're lying to ourselves. As I wrap up, let me finish with one more instruction from Jesus. We see this in Matthew 5:16. The Lord tells us, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Let me read that again. "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So what's Jesus telling us with this? He's telling us that our faith must be accompanied by works because, it's very important, because our works is our behavior. Our works, our behavior is what reveals Jesus to non-believer and to the identity of our God. Our works and our behavior is what tells the world that we serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Our faith accompanied by works is what separates us from a sinful and wicked world. Again, I don't want anyone to misunderstand what we've talked about here today. Understand what I've not said. I've not said that we are saved by works. Works will not save us. And anyone who says that is way off base. I mean, they're very, very wrong. Salvation is only through faith in the redeeming work of Christ and the grace of God. But if our faith is not accompanied by works, then we can't say that we have a genuine faith. Let's pray.